Good morning. Want to dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. Today we're going to be continuing in our series on the gifts of Christmas, and as was already prayed, today the focus is the gift of expectancy. And to start, I wanted to share, I think Diane Crone posted this on my Facebook site a few weeks ago. Question from the wife asking, are you counting down to Christmas? And he said, no, Star Wars. If you don't know, there's a Star Wars movie coming out, if you missed the hype, but I am a bit of a sci-fi nerd, and so I have had that on my calendar, along with a lot of other things on my calendar, opening weekend of the new Star Wars film. But, you know, that idea of looking forward to something, whether it's a movie, whether it's Christmas and the time with our families, a lot of different things we look forward to. And that really, when we talk about expectancy, that's what we're talking about today. That longing, that looking forward to something, something that's significant. I was talking to Bryce yesterday. Bryce was saying that there's a lot of things on his list that he's looking forward to right now. He's looking forward to, like me, he's my son, and looking forward to Star Wars this weekend. He's looking forward to time celebrating Christmas and the true meaning of this whole season and really celebrating. But he's also looking forward to a retreat at Mahaffey, a replenish that he's gone to the last couple years, reconnecting with some friends. And he's looking forward to going back to the Dominican. And so he said, you know, I've got four really big things that I'm looking forward to, and I'm excited about that. Probably least significant in all of that is the Star Wars, but we'll still have fun this weekend. But I just want you to, as we get started today, to think about what are you looking forward to? What are you really longing for? And as we talk specifically about spiritual expectancy, and especially in this Christmas season, I want to ask you, do you long for more of Jesus, not only in the way you celebrate Christmas, but do you long for more of Jesus in your life? More of his presence, more of his voice, more of just his involvement and active presence in your life. Today, that word of expectancy, the best definition I found to describe expectancy and what we're talking about is it's a state of thinking or hoping that something, especially something pleasant, will happen or be the case. It's that state of thinking or hoping that something especially pleasant will happen or be the case. So we're looking forward to something, we're excited about something, and we're longing for it. Today, I want us, as we think about the gift of expectancy, I want you to think, are you longing for more of Jesus in your life, in your families, in our church? Is there a spiritual thirst? It was a good final song that we had there, the idea of being hungry for more of God. Are you hungry for more of God? Are you hungry for more of Christ in your life? It's very easy to get caught up in, whether it's celebrating Christmas or just in our own spiritual life, it's very easy to get in ruts to where we go through the motions, we go through the traditions, and we lose the meaning and the significance. Today, as we think about the gift of expectancy, we're going to watch a video, again, by the Skit Guys. And he's going to talk about something he did. One of the two Skit Guys is going to share what he did to try to liven their family celebrations up, but to reinvigorate their family celebration of Christmas, to really make sure that they were focusing on not just the true meaning of Christmas, but that they were experiencing the longing and the expectancy in their life. Let's go ahead and watch that.
See this box? This is a gift for the whole family. You see, we are a Christmas decorations right after Thanksgiving dinner type of family. As soon as the stuffing is in the Tupperware, boom, we are sitting on ornaments and lights. And truth be told, the lights stay out till mid-January, at a minimum. Now, that may be because we just love the Christmas atmosphere and the Christmas spirit, or we're just lazy. I mean, we were devoted to the tradition of it, to the routine of it. I think in our hearts we just got lazy. We have this tradition where every Christmas we would all set up the nativity scene. And we'd set it out diligently, routinely. It was almost as if we were just trying to get through that next hurdle so we could watch our Christmas movies. So I had this idea. That's right. I stole baby Jesus. I plucked him right out of there. I started doing this about 4 years ago. I wanted him to mean something when he was in the manger. Now, I know what you're thinking. What? Why would a sane man hide the baby Jesus during Christmas? And I think therein lies the problem. A, I'm not that sane. And B, for me, Jesus was becoming just another ornament. And I just didn't want him to be that anymore. I wish you could have been there that very first year. It was bedlam.
Where's baby Jesus? Who took him?
The mystery of baby Jesus' whereabouts was on the forefront of everyone's minds. And then before you know it, I started throwing out these little ransom notes. And then people were searching for clues. And every night at dinner table, they would come up with these new theories. For 3 weeks straight, our house was cloaked in conspiracy.
I wonder where he is.
Me too.
Now, I may not be the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree, but I do know, and I was raised to know, that the most important thing about Christmas is to seek Christ. And that's why I hide the baby Jesus. My kids, they've gotten so into this. 2 years ago, they made shirts that said, keep calm and find Jesus. And last year they made a Facebook and they posted everything on it. You want to know where I hid baby Jesus this year? I hid him in our flower bed. Yep, gave him a little ransom note. Their last clue was this, Ephesians 5:2. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The fragrant offering part kind of confused my little one. She kept trying to look for him in the bathroom. Anyway, it took them a while, but they finally found him. I still got it. So, I have to go back out and hide him again. Because we will not open this gift until Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll turn off the phones and the TVs. And I'll just be quiet. He came into the world quietly. And I just want my family to absorb this. And then we will open up this gift. This amazing, God-breathed, prophecy-filled gift. And we will sit around as a family. And we will talk about why Jesus was the greatest Christmas gift ever.
There were a few key lines that really stood out in what he shared in the video. He said that, you know, they had devoted themselves to their traditions, but they had gotten lazy, not just in not bringing the lights down in January or February or March, but kind of gotten lazy and just going through the routine and forgetting the meaning behind their traditions. He also said, I wanted him to mean, speaking of baby Jesus and why he would take the baby Jesus out of the manger scene, or said, I wanted him to mean something when he was in the manger, and that Jesus was becoming just another ornament. And I want you to think for today, there's kind of a twofold way to approach today's message. One, of how you celebrate Christmas, but also think larger than that, to say just how do you celebrate Jesus throughout the year? Is Jesus just becoming another ornament? Are you going through routine and traditions and how you walk, demonstrate your walk with God, but have lost the meaning and lost the longing, lost that desire? I mean, you hear the excitement of these kids when they find the baby Jesus and how much it was probably forefront in their minds as they waited and they kept looking and they kept searching. I want to ask you, do you have that type of a thirst and longing and desire within your heart to not only celebrate Christmas in a way that's meaningful, but to celebrate Christ throughout the year in a way that really connects you deeply with Jesus? I believe God wants us to have hearts of expectancy. And today we're gonna look at, shared this actually at the governing board meeting this week as my devotional, but a little bit of it. But my favorite character of the Christmas story, apart from Jesus, is the man Simeon. And if you want to turn to Luke 2, Simeon is a man that we don't know a lot about. What we know is that he wasn't necessarily of anyone of any significance or importance, but he was longing. He had a heart of expectancy waiting for the Messiah to come. And so we're going to look at Luke 2, verses 25 through 26. We're going to talk a little bit about who Simeon was and what he was longing for. And then we're going to see the way in which God blessed Simeon. Luke 2, 25 says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Now, just a few things to think about. Again, Simeon's not someone who has a title. He's not someone that has any significance and of importance in position. But he's described as a righteous man, as a devout man. And he's waiting. Two key words here. He's waiting, which is the idea of that he is... has expectancy. He's waiting and remaining in a place with expectancy concerning something that's a future event. He's longing for something to come. And what Simeon, we're told, he's longing for is the consolation of Israel. And that's the comfort that Israel would receive when the Messiah would come. Remember, Israel is, they're basically slaves to Rome. They don't have the freedom that they had previously experienced. They were waiting for the Messiah to come who would not only reestablish Israel, but they were waiting for the Messiah to come who would make all things right. They were longing for that day, that they would no longer be the slaves to Rome. Simeon was waiting. He was longing. And you have to wonder, we know, we believe Simeon is getting, this is late in his years. And I'll show you a picture in a moment, not quite yet, but that kind of captures this moment. But Simeon, you can imagine all these years waiting and longing, wondering if today would be, he's not just waiting like all of Israel was waiting for the Messiah. God had given this man a promise. He had been given a promise by God that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah, the Lord's Christ. And he was holding on to that promise, and he was longing. Something else that really stands out about Simeon is he really is a man of God's Spirit. And I think it's important that we understand that Simeon is not just seeking the coming Messiah, but the fact that he is in tune with God's Spirit means that he is seeking God's Spirit in his life. And I always am amazed because the religious leaders and so many of the religious leaders and political leaders that should have been waiting and longing and expecting Christ to come missed it and opposed Christ and his coming. But Simeon embraced Christ, literally, had the opportunity to embrace his Savior. He was longing, and you wonder, what's the difference? The difference is not only that he was seeking after God, but that he was seeking God's Spirit. He was in tune with God's Spirit. It says specifically in these verses, it says the Holy Spirit was upon him and that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And then we know in a moment he's going to be led by the Spirit out into the courtyard where he's going to find Mary and Joseph and Jesus. He's in touch with God's Spirit. Simeon is someone who is not just longing and looking forward to the return for Christ to come and for the Messiah to come, but he is someone who is seeking after God. And he's walking in communion with God. Let's look at verse 28. 28 says, he took him up. This is the moment where he actually comes out. you got to picture this. Verse 27, which I don't have on the screen, I don't believe. Actually, it is on the screen. It says, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. So again, the Spirit's leading him. The Spirit's working in this man's life. Came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Mary and Joseph have brought Jesus to the temple out of obedience to present Jesus to God. Simeon comes out, and the Spirit's led him, and he has this encounter. You kind of picture, imagine Mary and Joseph for a moment. If those of you that have had children, you can think of those moments where you were in that protective mode, that you didn't really let anyone touch your kid unless you knew them. Here's a perfect stranger coming up, making, I believe, probably a beeline to Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And he wants to embrace the child. This is an incredible moment. But Simeon has been led there, and it says in verse 28, he takes Jesus up into his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. If you look at the next slide, some of you know that this is, I've shared some of this story before because this is one of my favorite paintings. Ron DeCiani, he does a lot of paintings that are spiritual warfare type stuff, but this painting is called Simeon's Moment. And it's that picture of capturing that moment where Simeon, who's been waiting and longing for the day of the Messiah to come, and has been told that he would not die before he saw the Messiah, has the Messiah in his arms. Now, we've all experienced that time around Christmas time where a child opens up the big present that they were longing for, and they're grinning from ear to ear. They're just filled with excitement. They're just filled with joy. You know, we've been on the receiving end of that too, where we've had a gift that we were longing for, something that we were really excited about, and we were so excited to open it up and use it. But the reality is the gift of Jesus is the only gift that will satisfy you beyond just a few moments. I've received a lot of gifts over the years that were really exciting, really, really something I was really excited about that I couldn't even tell you now when and where I received that gift. Simeon in this moment, and I love this picture because it captures not just the moment that he gets to hold Jesus, but it captures his longing and the fact that he is now holding the promise. Not only the promise that was made to Simeon, but he's holding the promised child for all of Israel. And there's a connection here, and this is really at the heart of today's message. When we talk about building expectancy in our hearts and our lives, our part in that is to seek him. And there's a connection between seeking God and the waiting and the longing in the experience of God's joy, and the experience of the expectancy of actually encountering God in his presence. There's a connection between the seeking and the expectancy. Simeon was not just expecting the Messiah, or seeking the Messiah. He was seeking after God, and we see that throughout all the descriptors and how this man is described. But I want you to look for a moment, look at the picture for a moment, And see how it captures that moment and the pure joy in which Simeon is now holding his Messiah. One of the phrases that was mentioned in the video was this father who was trying to reinvigorate their family's celebration of Christmas understood that the most important thing about Christmas is to seek Christ. And so he understood that by taking out the Jesus out of the nativity set, he was able to build this excitement and this longing and this wonder of where Jesus really was and looking forward to the fact that they would eventually find him. We typically skip all over that. We skip over it. That's why I love one of my favorite Christmas carols is what we sang this morning. The O Come, O Come Emmanuel really captures the longing that Israel had. And if you never really took the time to reflect on the words of that hymn, throughout that hymn, there are different names, the Dayspring, Emmanuel, all these different names of Christ that really take us back to the Old Testament and the promises that Israel was holding on to and the longing that Israel was waiting for the Messiah to come. You know, we sometimes don't just get caught up in our routines and our traditions, but we skip the longing. We skip the anticipation and the desire to have expectancy, and not only in our celebration of Christmas, but expectancy in our walk with God. I want to ask you this morning, when you came to church, we can come to church for a lot of different reasons, but did you come this morning with an expectancy to meet God? Did you come this morning with an expectancy to not only hear from God's word, but that God would speak to you and God would be present in our midst? God desires that we have a longing after him and a thirst for him that moves us to a place of seeking. And it's not just a seeking for his presence now, but it's also a seeking and waiting for the fact that we know that Christ is going to return for us. There's a relationship between our seeking and our experience of expectancy. Just a couple other questions before we look at some other passages that talk about our seeking after God. Not just how we approach church, how you came today. You know, those of you that have younger kids, Sunday morning, there's a reason Jan and I drive separately on Sunday morning. Especially when the kids were younger, I was getting out, escaping the chaos of the house to get to church, to get ready and be here. I realized sometimes in our families, what we experience in the morning to get here is a little chaotic at times. And yet, through the chaos, or whether you're maybe not experiencing that in this stage of your life, are you coming to church with an expectancy to really encounter God? What about your quiet time, your devotional time? When you open up God's word, when you set aside time to connect with God, are you really approaching your devotional time, your quiet time, with a longing and expectancy to meet Jesus? And when you celebrate Christmas, or personally or with your family, do you long to meet Jesus in your traditions, in your routine, in your celebration? Is Jesus a part of that? Or are you longing to make Christ really a part of your celebration? There is a relationship between our seeking and our experience of expectancy. And this is something we see throughout Scripture. And we look at a verse from Jeremiah 29:13. Now, this is God's word to Israel when they were in exile. But the promise is true. The promise is true not only for Israel, the promise is true for us today. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And that phrase, "with all of your heart," really kind of goes alongside with the understanding of what it means to seek after God. To seek after God is not just going through routine. There's a devotion in this. There's an earnestly seeking after God. You really can't separate the idea of effort from the idea of seeking. We've all experienced the frustration of losing our keys or losing something that's important to us. Okay, are we on? Sorry. I'll just finish from here. It's not a problem. I checked the batteries this morning. I thought I had enough, but I guess not. But, you know, Jeremiah 29:13, that idea of seeking after God with all of our heart really captures the heart of what it means to seek after God. It is the idea that there's an effort. Psalm 63 that we've looked at in recent months, the idea of I earnestly seek after God. There's an effort in the seeking. And so whether we lose our keys or whether we lose something else that's important, we understand that effort to say, I'm going to look until I find it. I want to ask you, when's the last time you had that level of longing, thirst, or desire to pursue God in that way? To really pursue him with a longing to say, I want to know that I've been in God's presence. I want to know that I've had an encounter with Jesus, that he's met me, that I've heard his voice and that he has spoken to me and that's he's going to be with me throughout my day because I'm thirsting after him, I'm longing after him, and I'm seeking him with all of my heart. In the New Testament, we see the call to seek after God on multiple occasions. But in one, we see Jesus' words in Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Now, these words aren't in the screen, but I just want to give this context. Jesus is saying to seek, to ask, to knock. They're all really emphasizing that idea of pursuit, of seeking after God, to pursue Him, to knock, to ask, to actually be driven in a relationship with Him. Verses 9 through 11, Jesus goes on to say, "Which one of you, if a son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" That picture, this verse, there are preachers out there who will say, "Well, yeah, I can seek and ask God for that new car and that God's going to try to bless me in that way." That's not the point of what Jesus is making here. And I think it's helpful when you look at the other account of this this narrative in Luke. Jesus is even more specific. It's not just giving good gifts in general. In Luke 11:13, it says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" You know, I think I have found in talking to people over the years that sometimes people have this notion of God kind of playing the shell game with us. You remember the shell game? There's like three shells or something, a treasure under one shell. And I've seen people get this notion with seeking God's will, but I think even just in seeking after God, that somehow that if we pick one, he's going to lift the shell and we've missed it. God is clear in His word that when we seek Him with all of His heart, we have the promise that we will find Him, that we can experience Him. And Jesus is reinforcing this in Matthew 7, that if we truly seek after Him, if we knock and it'll be open to us, if we ask, we'll receive, and gives us that promise that if an earthly father wants to give good things to us, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to give good things, more specifically, His Spirit to those who seek Him? In the words of our founder, A.B. Simpson, you could say it this way: how much does God want to give Himself to each one of us? When we seek after Him, He wants to give us that longing, that desire that we have for more of Him. That's a prayer that God wants to answer. He wants us to experience His presence. He wants us to experience His voice. He wants to experience Him living inside of us and living and active in our lives. When I ask you, are you seeking Him? Are you going through routine? Are you really seeking after Him? Jesus gives us the promise in Revelation 3:20. And again, this is often used to describe an invitation to those that have never come to faith in Christ, but it's really a word to those who are already followers of Christ. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." These are Jesus' words. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me." Jesus desires, He's knocking the door of our hearts and our lives, not just once, not just to bring us to a point of trusting Him for salvation, but He wants to come into our life on a regular basis and sit with us and commune with us. The picture of sharing a meal together is a picture of fellowship, the fellowship that God wants to have with each one of us. But we have to make the choice. We have to make the choice to choose to seek Christ, to earnestly seek Him, knowing that He desires for us to experience His love and His presence in our life. He wants us to experience His fullness. So today, as we transition to kind of our closing moments together, I want us to think, what are the practical things that we can do, not only in our own lives? I mean, if we ended it right now, we could say, okay, I got to go out and I got to seek God more. I got to let God really invigorate a greater thirst and desire for Him. And that is something that God's Spirit has to do within us. And so I encourage you, if you're not connecting with that thirst and that desire for more of Christ, make that a matter of prayer and ask God to awaken within you a greater thirst and desire for Him. But I also, as we think about celebrating Christmas and as we think about the traditions at Christmas time or throughout the year of how we connect to God, I want us to think about some practical things that we can do to not only help us with our seeking, but to build expectancy within our heart and our life. First thing I would encourage you to think about is focus our attention on Jesus. And that sounds really trite, but I want you to think about it. Think about what happens when we build expectancy. Like the kids. I mean, when I was kids, we used to make the paper links for however many days it was until Christmas, and we'd take a link off every day. And we had all these different things, and we would just, I mean, for whether it was going through the Sears and Roebuck catalog in preparation for picking our Christmas gifts, those of you that are younger have no idea what I'm talking about. There were all these things that we did that just built anticipation, and because we began to obsess over the coming holiday of Christmas. And sometimes we experience that with that gift, that big gift that we had on our list, and we would obsess about it. We'd read the reviews about it. And I'm guilty of this. To this day, I'm guilty of this. Just ask Jana. If I have something in my mind, I tend to obsess about this, and at least one of my children has received that gift to be able to do that. But we get things in our minds, and we just focus on it, and we just feed that obsession. What we think about and what we allow our hearts to focus on will direct us. And so when I ask you, what are you obsessing about? What do you find yourself consistently thinking about? Again, well, like what we already mentioned, when we get that gift that we've been longing for, we realize that it may not be meaningful in another year. But when we receive the gift of Christ and experience the gift of Christ day in and day out, we realize that Jesus, there is no letdown. There is no letdown. The longing is found in fulfillment when we encounter Christ and experience His fullness in our life. We need to seek Christ. We need to reflect on Him. And to help with this, I just want you to think about this. Take time to really think about not only who Jesus is, think about who He is, think about what He has done for you. Not only in the basic Christian message, the fact that He died in your place on the cross, He conquered death, rose again, and He's made the way for all of us to experience eternal life. That's the foundation. But if we really reflect on that a little bit more, we know there's a lot more that Jesus has done for us. Those of you that have walked with Christ for some time, you could probably make a pretty long list of the things that Jesus has done in your life and the way that He's been a blessing to you. We also can think about the fact that He's coming again and reflect on that truth and the promise of His coming. To help you just kind of get you started on this process, instead of obsessing or thinking just about the gifts or just obsessing about something else, let us not only during the Christmas season but throughout the year be people who obsess on Jesus. I want to read Colossians 1:15-20. This is a hymn to Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Jesus is above all things. He's preeminent above all things in all of creation, and yet that same Jesus desires to come, reside in our hearts and our lives, so that we can know His presence and know His voice. We need to not only focus our attention on Christ and obsess on Christ, we need to put times with God on that calendar. Again, like that opening cartoon of whether it's counting down to Christmas or counting down to Star Wars, when we put something on the calendar and we look forward to it, it signifies an importance of that thing in our life. I want to ask you, are you regularly putting appointments in your calendar of time with God? Think about that specifically for this Christmas season. Are you making a priority to spend time with God during this Christmas season, but throughout the year then, are you regularly prioritizing your time with God, the appointments that you need to have with Him? You know, it's very easy as a family to be focused on just the busyness of the Christmas season. We've got school concerts. We've got things that we seem to be running to constantly. We're making cookies. We're decorating. We're doing all these things. Answer the question for your family. When in our family celebration are we going to pause to meet with God and invite God to speak to us? Two more. One of the things we can do is develop traditions and routines. And this might seem counterproductive because in the video he was kind of breaking out of that. And yet traditions and routines can be powerful. It's what I believe often what builds the excitement. We go through the Thanksgiving holiday and then we have our traditions that typically follow shortly after that. Putting up the tree, doing all these different things that start getting us excited about celebrating the Christmas season. And in our life, you may have traditions and routines that you are committed to that help you connect with Jesus each day, not just during the Christmas season. I want to encourage you to just reflect on the traditions, the routines that you have, not only through the Christmas season, but throughout the year. What are the routines you have and in your family have that will point you to Christ and help you connect with Him more deeply? Do you have a daily quiet time, a daily devotional time? Do you have times for family prayer? Do you have times that maybe you have an Advent calendar or something? Maybe you do the Advent candle at home. Do you have some traditions that you do in your family that help you focus on Christ and keep Him at the center of your experience together? We need to establish healthy routines, but we also need to, like in our video, sometimes we need to break up the routine. And I know for me, spiritually, this has been significant for me. I sometimes find myself spiritually getting in ruts where, like, doing what I've always done doesn't seem to be working. Anyone else ever experienced this? Like doing my normal devotional time that just didn't seem to be connecting with me in the way that it needed to. And so I had to do some things differently. I would maybe read some different passages of scripture, or add worship time, add music to my quiet time, or get a good devotional that was something during a season of my life that I needed to hear someone that was more of a guide to encourage me. Sometimes if you're in a place where you're in a rut, I encourage you to think of how you can break the routine in your devotional life. How can you break the routine? That doesn't mean stop having the devotional life. That's not what I'm saying. But is there something you can do? Maybe it's getting outside. And one of our small groups, we've been talking about that, is that for some of us, we connect deeply with God when we're out in nature. And we're outside and we can enjoy God's creation, but also connect with Him. I encourage you to be creative. Think of ways that you can be creative, whether it's getting outside during your prayer time or whether it's adding worship music to your prayer time. Find ways to break the routine of what you do and when you connect with God, to make it something that you look forward to. That you, when you sit down in your chair, one of my favorite times is to be able to sit down in a chair at home with the dog at my feet, with my coffee at hand, and just try to meet with God in those moments. I enjoy the walks. I enjoy the times I get away at our cottage in Mahaffey, but I find times where I intentionally break the routine to try to connect with Him. You know, the video, we saw that this breaking the tradition of taking the manger, they established a new routine, a new tradition, and it was meaningful, and every tradition has its beginning. So I encourage you as we close today to be thinking, again, not only in your celebration of Christmas, but in your experiencing God daily throughout the year. What are the routines and traditions that you need to have that are non-negotiable? But what are the things that you maybe need to tweak? Maybe some things you need to do to break out of the routine so that your time with God, your time spent with Him together as a family and personally, is something that is meaningful and something that you long for and you look forward to with expectancy, knowing that Jesus is standing at the heart, He's standing at the door of your heart and your life. And He's knocking. Now, some of you, I don't have this picture to put in front of us, but if you remember the picture, many of you have seen the picture of Jesus knocking on the door, and there's no doorknob for Him to open. It's only a door that can be opened from within. Jesus stands at the door of our heart and our lives. He's knocking. He wants us to come in, invite Him in. He wants to come in to fellowship with us so that we can know His voice and know His presence. He is longing for that. The question is, are we? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, to know that you are our perfect Heavenly Father, you desire to not only give us good things, but the most important thing you desire to give us is yourself. Your Spirit coming to live in us and in our hearts and our lives. Lord, forgive us for allowing our celebration during the Christmas season or allowing our devotional time and our regular practice of our relationship with you to become routine. Lord, forgive us for not longing after you and desiring to hear your voice, desiring to really to encounter you in our lives. Lord, I just pray that today that you would give each of us one specific thing, Lord, that would be helpful in this area, not only in how we'll celebrate Christmas this season, but how we might take a step to grow in our longing and our seeking after you, Lord, that we might have a heart full of expectancy, longing to meet you each day. Lord, I just pray that today, even as we close, Lord, that your Spirit would just be moving in our hearts, moving in our midst, even in this place. May our hearts and our minds be open to hear from you. Lord, beyond anything I have said or done, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to each of our hearts in this moment. May we know your love. May we know how much you desire for us to have that encounter where we embrace you as our Savior and experience your fullness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.